God's Word. Last week, for the first time, we moved away from the church age and we moved into what the Bible would call the future aspect of what's going to take place. And I would say to you this morning, there's a lot of people that are looking toward the future. They want to know what the future holds. There will be even people that will go to demonic activity. And what I say by that, they'll read their horoscope every day or they'll go to some tarot card or something because they have a great desire to know what the future holds. But yet the Word of God actually tells us what the future will be. Now in Revelation 4, I want to show you my chart here. Look at this fancy thing I have here. All right, look at that. I got me a pointer here. Isn't that cool? This is where we've been in Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3. But you'll notice here that we're really going to talk about the first resurrection, the translation. It's called the rapture. And we looked at it last week in Revelation 4, and we said this. This is a clear picture of the rapture as we see that these words. And John said, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things, look at this, which must be hereafter. So this is the division. God said, I'm going to allow John to go. We're going to open the doors of heaven, and we're going to be able to go here. And God said, I'm going to show you things that are going to take place. Verse 2 says, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. Now I would make sure that I'm just going to tell you today that the Bible teaches us that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 1 through 3, we saw that Jesus Christ walked among the churches. In Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we're going to be introduced to the throne that is in heaven, and the center of that throne is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the center of our life. He is the center of the universe. He is the center of all activity. He is the center of salvation. As the book of Hebrews would claim, He is better than anything. He is better than the Old Testament. He is better than the Old Covenant. He's better than the angels. He's better than anything because He is the only way of salvation. And we're literally introduced to the person of the rapture. We've looked at the picture of the rapture, but I want to introduce to you this morning the person of the rapture. Now just hang on because I want you to take your Bible when you sit down and I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians 4. And I'm going to show you that Revelation chapter 4 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 line up. And I want to look this morning, as God would help us, as this person, Jesus Christ, and what the resurrection has to do with the rapture. And then I just want to look at the promise of what God's going to do. Now, my friend, if you're under the sound of my voice this morning, you can hear me. You must understand that this church believes the Bible. There's a lot of things that people will teach you. The media will say things. There's a lot of heresy out there, but I'm telling you, we are Bible-believing Baptists. We believe the Word of God. Therefore, we believe without any apology that the next event on God's calendar is what's known as the rapture. And while you will not find that word rapture actually found in the Bible, the idea of God catching away His people is very clearly found right here in Revelation 4, and then we'll look at the promise in 1 Thessalonians 4. Now, I said that to say this, the world is crazier now than it's ever been. I mean, when you have a religious figure who makes a great claim that a religion that has always believed in a literal hell all of a sudden says it doesn't exist, I'm telling you, strap it on, we're just about to the end. I will never make a date. I don't know when the Lord's coming back, but I can say to you, through studying the revelation and the things that are going to happen hereafter, we're seeing some of those things right on the ripple effects. The things that are going to be happening in the revelation, 100 years ago, a preacher would shake his head and scratch his head. Not shake his head, scratch his head. This is shake, this is scratch. He would scratch his head and go, how is that going to happen? Man, we can see things today so clearly. Again, I'm not saying when the Lord's coming, but I do believe it's very soon. Father, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, as we look at the person of Jesus Christ and the rapture of the saints and the picture that is found here in Revelation 4, things that should be hereafter, I pray that, God, that you would help us to understand today that as Paul said that he believed that he lived in the last days, and if the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, believed it almost 2,000 years ago, Lord, how much more should we believe that today? Lord, we see things today Paul didn't see. We see things that America couldn't imagine 50 years ago, 100 years ago. And Lord, it just coming into view. And I say all that to say this, that I pray that people would understand this is not a game. This is not just something. This is not just another day, another message, another time period. But this is the time where just before we're going to see the coming of the Lord. And we know that we believe in the birth of Christ. We believe in the resurrection of Christ. And therefore, we also believe in the coming of Christ. And just like the birth of Christ took place, the ascension, the resurrection, the crucifixion, all of those are real events. So will this catching away be as we see pictured in Revelation 4, verses 1 and 2. God help me. If there's anyone here without Christ, may they understand that God loves them. God wants to forgive them of their sins. But Lord, they must come to Him in repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Lord, for salvation. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I won't go back and re-preach the message of last week as we looked at the picture of the rapture that has taken place in chapter 4 after this, after what? After the church age, after the churches, things that take place in churches in Revelation chapters 1, 2, and 3. And so, but I will dogmatically declare unto you based on the scriptures that I read this morning, and then later on when I'm in 1 Thessalonians 4, which you have your finger on probably there, that there is no shadow of doubt that the second coming of Christ will be literal, it will be visible, and it will be personal. Jesus said this. I want you to listen to me. And again, I'm going to quote some scriptures this morning. But again, everything is based on the text that we're reading. But I want you to understand that Jesus said to His believers, His disciples in John 14, He said, "In My Father's house are many mansions." Now the disciples were very very near where Christ was going to be crucified in John 14. John 14 understood that their hearts were troubled about the events that were about to take place. In fact, the truth is they didn't really understand everything about the crucifixion. I mean, they just could not imagine the Savior, the man of God that they had been following the last 3.5 years. The things that they had seen, the miracles that had taken place, the blind that had been made to see, the deaf that had been made to hear, the dead that had been raised from the dead like Lazarus. I mean, Lazarus had been brought out of the grave not long before this. And now Jesus Christ is trying to tell these men that He is going to die, that He's going to be crucified, that He's going to be buried, and He's going to raise again. I'm telling you, if somebody told me that, I'm not sure how much I'd comprehend either. But they really got it after the resurrection. They understood that the things that Jesus Christ said were true. And by the way, if they were true then, they're just as true today. And so Jesus is trying to get them to understand, and He's trying to calm their hearts. And here's what He said. "In My Father's house," He said to them, "are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now listen to this. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Did you hear that? He said, "If I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I am saying to you that in this reference to the rapture, Jesus is unmistakably stating that He would return personally for His people. Now we know that 1 Thessalonians is going to teach us that He's coming in the air. At the end of the revelation, we're going to see that He actually comes down unto the earth. So sometimes when we talk about the revelation of Jesus Christ, there's the rapture and then there's the return. And we're preaching about Revelation 4. We're talking about when he comes in the air. We're talking about when heaven's doors are open and those that are alive and remain are caught up together to meet him in the air. The truth of this is not only spoken about in John 14, as I mentioned, but also in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Because you understand with me that after Jesus Christ arose from the dead and before his ascension back to heaven, up until that day which he was taken up, through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, he said to them in Acts chapter 1, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So after Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he met with his church, if I could say it that way, which would be a correct way to say it. He met with his disciples. He met with the church. He met with these people. And the Bible said that for 40 more days, he taught them and he proved to them that he was alive. Listen, he even ate. He fixed them bread and he fixed them fish. Now, if I fish, I like hush puppies. So I like to think of it like that. But I'm telling you, he preached to them and he taught them, speaking to them, things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So we learn after the resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples. The Bible said he taught them pertaining to the kingdom of God. He assured them of the promised power of God for the ministry and told them to tarry at Jerusalem until the Holy Ghost has come. In fact, he said it like this in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the earth. And what I want you to recognize is, and if you had your Bibles in Acts 1:9, or Acts 1 here, notice what happens next. In Acts 1:9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, look at this, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now these men saw this take place. These men saw the risen Savior. These men were taught of Jesus for 40 days, and he was ascended. Now, don't look at me like that. I'm telling you, that was a literal, that was a bodily, and that was an invisible ascension to heaven. Now, after this took place, the Bible said he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Redemption has been paid for. The resurrection has taken place. The teaching of the kingdom, and now the ascension. And I'm telling you, and the Bible says, and while they looked steadfastly, I reckon, they stood there and looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, and behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which we probably believe are angels, which they were angels, which said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, stay with me, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I'm telling you, my friend, the next prophetic event on God's calendar is the rapture. And the person of the rapture is Jesus Christ. Did I say that he's our Savior? Did I say that he's our brother, he's our friend, he's our Lord? Did I say to you that in heaven we will worship him? Do you understand that we worship him in spirit and in truth? And in Revelation 4, the throne is mentioned so many times in the worship. And the Apostle Paul would tell us like this, because I'm going to tell you, not only is he the person of the rapture, not only do we have a picture of the rapture, but you got to understand, my friend, when God promises something, it will take place. God promised in the Old Testament that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem, even though his mother didn't live in Bethlehem. She lived in Galilee. She lived in Galilee. There was 90 miles that she would have to travel, but it just so happened that Micah chapter 5, verse 2 said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, and it just so happened that Caesar decreed that all the world should be taxed just at the right time so that you'd have to go back to the lineage of which you were from. And since Mary and Joseph were from the lineage of David, they had to travel all that way to go to Bethlehem, not to pay a tax as much as that Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. Because no man in his right mind would travel with a 9-month pregnant woman on a donkey anywhere. Seriously. You wouldn't do that. except that the Bible said the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And guess where Jesus was born? He was born in Bethlehem. That comes up, you know, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these people are trying to say things like, did anything good come out of Galilee? Jesus is from Galilee. He lives in Nazareth. He's from this region. Don't you understand that the Messiah, Micah 5:2 says the Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem? Read the Bible. He was born in Bethlehem. God made a way. He promised that would happen, and it did. He promised the Savior would be born, and it did. He promised that we could have forgiveness of sin and a way would be made, and it was. But my friend, if Jesus Christ didn't rise out of that grave, he'd be just like any other religious leader that has died. But he did. That's why we celebrate every Sunday morning, not just Easter Sunday morning. Praise God for Christmas and Easter, and to think about it and to just give a serious thought about the resurrection. But I'm saying to you, we should think about it every time we come to church. He arose. He's alive. And we serve him. He is the, and listen, now where I want you to get this is go back to your 1 Thessalonians 4. Man, this could be the fastest message you've ever heard me preach. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul is giving us some great insight to the church at Thessalonica. And really, I don't have time to really develop this, but he's talking about people who have been taught wrong things about, and there's so much wrong teaching today. But I want you to understand that, I want you to look at verse number 13. Now, you got to look at this. If you don't have to believe me, believe the Bible. In 1 Thessalonians 13, Paul said this, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," or those that have died already. And can I say this? Everybody's going to die. I think young people think they're exempt. I think sometimes we get in our middle age and we think of, well, that's for the older people. No, it's everybody's going to die. The only exception to that is the rapture. Because there's what God's going to give us instruction. But he said, first of all, if you're dead and you're in Christ, it's okay. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But he says, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. And here's what he says, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Listen, if you don't have Christ, you don't have any hope. If you don't have salvation, this world is all you've got. This is it. This is as good as it's going to get. You say, well, I'm going to make my own way. I've got my own house. I've got my... That's all good and fine, and praise God for that, but that's as good as it gets. This is not it for us that are saved. And I tell you, the world is full of sorrow and full of heartbreak and full of misery sometimes. But this ain't my eternal destination. He said, don't sorrow. Verse number 14. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, stop right there. Did you see that? Because the rapture ties in with the resurrection. Sometimes, but see, so don't say that Pastor Abel's never preached a traditional Easter message. Well, kind of, sort of. Best I can. One of my friends called me this week. Said, you're going to preach on the revelation? I said, if it's in the text, I will. Well, it is. Look at this. For if we believe, and we do we not? Do you believe that Jesus died? Do you believe he was placed in a borrowed tomb? Do you believe he rose again? Amen. Most people here do. Now, there may be some here that don't. But we'll pray that the Holy Ghost will get you to understand it's true. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are also which are asleep in Jesus Christ, Jesus will bring with him. Did you see that? That's called the rapture. And here's what he says. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Ooh, I hope we're alive when he comes back. You know what that means? That means we won't have to die. I'd like to be in that crowd. I'd like to be in that crowd. Well, Revelation chapter 4 is going to show us all the things that are going to happen, and it's going to take place. But listen to this. For the Lord himself, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Wow. Wait a minute. Didn't Revelation 4, Let's look at this picture again. Let's read both of these together. Revelation 4, did it not say that after these things, I behold, a door was open in heaven, and I heard as it was, and the first voice which I heard was as a trumpet talking with me, saying, come up hither. Is that not a great picture of verse number 16 in 1 Thessalonians? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's where we get the word rapture. Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Brother, and I'm telling you right now, the person of the rapture is Jesus Christ, but the promise of the rapture is very true. What a comforting passage to every child of God. It means that if Christ should come in our day, we would be like John on the Isle of Patmos, who had been exiled because of his faith, who had been tarred and feathered and left for dead, and thought maybe his ministry was totally over, that God was done with him. And those religious leaders that hated John and the preaching of John, they hated the preaching of salvation by grace through faith. And they left John out on that island called Patmos, and they left him for dead. And Jesus Christ showed up and said, John, write some things down. I'm going to show you what's going to be hereafter. Now, first of all, we need to have some instruction to the churches. And every church needs instruction. And I'm not going to go back and preach those 20 messages. But every church needs instruction. But every church needs to understand, and every child of God needs to understand, we're waiting for him to come for us. Now, we're not to be idle. We're to be having mission conferences. We're to give money to the cause of Christ. We're to do all those kind of things. But I'm telling you, the day is coming very soon where we're going to hear the words, come up hither. So Paul describes the resurrection and the rapture of the saints. The rapture of the Christian is indeed our wonderful and blessed hope. He even told Titus that. In other words, every true child of God is waiting for this event to happen, and it can take place at any moment. He told Titus, his young son in the faith, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But that brings us, now all of God's people are saying amen. And we're excited about that. And we say this is Resurrection Sunday. But there's a dilemma. The dilemma is those that are not saved. The dilemma is those that are not believers. The dilemma is those that have not repented of their sins. See, you can't say amen to that, but I can tell you, you can be saved. In other words, you can get in on God's plan. The doctrine of the rapture is clearly taught in the Bible. He even said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. And it is a mystery in the sense that it hasn't happened yet. You ever read a mystery? Have you ever gotten so curious that you had to go to the end of the book? Don't do that. Oh, well, you can go to the end of the book. It's called the Revelation. And God said, I'll show you what will happen. But when he preached it in 1 Corinthians, he said it's a mystery. Then he said this, we shall not all sleep. In other words, everybody's not going to die. There's going to be a time in God's plan where Jesus is going to come back, and not everybody's going to be dead. We're going to be alive. And so he says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Have you ever batted your eye? How quick that is, the blinking of an eye. Do you understand the twinkling of an eye is faster than the blinking of an eye? That's how quick it's going to happen. And then he says this, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, talking about this old body, and boy, it is corrupt. Man, it's creaky, and I mean it creaks when I get up now. Man, I used to pop out of the bed at age 30 and I'd go 90 miles an hour. Now I only go 25 miles an hour. For this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immorality. In other words, one day we're going to be incorruptible. But as long as we're in this body, we're corruptible. But one day when he comes back for us, we're going to put on incorruption. And the Bible says this, we shall be like him. What does that mean? We shall be like Christ as far as the resurrection body is concerned. It'll still be real, but we'll just be able to get around quicker. It'll be real. Now, my friend, listen to me. The rapture is pictured right here in this Bible, right here in this text. But the person of it is the one who resurrected. The rapture is all about Jesus Christ. It's about his coming back for those that have accepted his way of salvation. And by the way, again, we're not being ugly, but there's not 100 ways to be saved. There's one way. It's through Jesus Christ. He declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh by the Father but me. What about all those sincere people? You can be sincere and be wrong if it doesn't line up with the Scripture. I just read to you the rapture, the picture of it, the person of Jesus Christ, and the promise of his coming is drawing near. So what do I do with that? Well, I tell you what I do with it. I get busy and say, there's people who need the Lord, who need to be saved. Because I've read the rest of the Revelation. By the way, you can do that yourself. You can read about the total destruction. You can see the seven trumpets that are going to sound and the judgments that will come. And we'll look at those things and we'll describe them and we'll show you all that, all these things hereafter. But I don't want to do that yet. I want to say, listen, the Revelation would be a whole lot better if you're saved. Amen. It's a whole lot better. And if you're not saved this morning, meaning you've never trusted Christ, you've never been forgiven of your sin, can I tell you this? God loves you. I'm 58 years old now. When I was 24 years old, I'd lived this life. I'd done my own thing. And praise God, the Lord convicted me and showed me my sinful condition, that without him I had no hope. And I'll be honest with you, I praise God that he convicted me. I'm glad that he showed me the way of salvation. I'll tell you, I've been saved ever since I trusted Christ as my Savior. And you know what? Reading about the Revelation, preaching about the rapture, talking about it, it's awesome. Because it's going to be so soon. And all of our loved ones that have gone up, today would have been my mom's birthday. She would have been 83 today, I believe, or 82, something like that. Today's her birthday. You know what? This is her first birthday she's spending in heaven. And she wouldn't want to come back here for anything. Son, if we can get out of here, glory. But we got to do it in his time. But here's what I'm going to ask you. We're going to have a word of prayer and invitation. If you're not saved today, you don't know Christ, I can't think of a better day to be saved than Resurrection Sunday, amen. Easter. Amen. We've got people that love you. The Lord loves you. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. We'll show you. We'll open up the Bible. We'll show you how to be saved. We'll show you how God wants to forgive you and how he loves you. You know, listen, everybody knows John 3:16. Even people that ain't in church don't know that. Listen, for God so loved the world that he gave. Yeah, go ahead, Michael. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever, did you get all that? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to say anything else except for a word of prayer. If you need to come this morning, you want somebody to pray with you, we'll be glad to do that. We'll be glad to do that. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for salvation. And Lord, this revelation, just these first few verses in chapter 4, looking at this picture of a door opened in heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ saying to John, come up hither. Comparing that to Revelation, 1 Thessalonians 4, where you tell us that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. He was speaking that to save people. Lord, there's no comfort for those without Christ if the rapture takes place and heaven's doors are open and the saints of God are ascended like you were there in the book of Acts. Lord, save the lost. Show them their need of salvation. May they understand there is no other way, but they can know the free pardon of sin. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. And there's many people that are in this church that have been saved the Bible way. God, would you speak to hearts as only you can. I pray, Lord, that as we end Easter and go into our mission conference beginning on Wednesday, that we would understand clearly how these things go together. The rapture, the resurrection, and the missions, the commission of the church, all of these things are certainly interwoven. But Lord, today our heart's desire is for those without Christ to come to Him in salvation. Lord, many people are saved, but they're not serving You like they should. Not any way. And when the rapture takes place and we stand before You in the judgment seat of Christ, there also will be some disappointment because we've not served You the way we should. Lord, help people to get those things corrected in their life and repent of those things also. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Brother.